I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Sinister Sightings 329. All right, the first one. Sinister Sightings. Hey, y'all. I promised on the Facebook page that I would write this in. I took my annual girls trip, and as luck would have it, I have another spooky story. I wrote last summer from a girls trip on the lake and the weirdo ghost that liked our nightlight. This trip, I went with a different group of friends to the West Baden Springs Hotel in southern Indiana. French Lick is the original resort, built in the mid-1800s because of the mineral springs there. The West Baden Springs Hotel was built in the early 1900s as a competitor. However, both resorts were purchased by the same company in 2006 and went under extensive renovation. They now function as one resort. I highly recommend it to anyone that loves the finer things with a spa treatment. The spas are wonderful, and the resorts have many options with restaurants. It isn't crazy expensive either. The West Baden Springs Hotel was a popular destination in the Roaring Twenties. However, after the big crash of 1929, the hotel fell into disrepair and closed. There were written accounts that on Black Thursday, people were literally fleeing the property in droves, and the area became a ghost town. It was sold to the Jesuit priests and functioned as a seminary for a while. Then a college. Then, once again, back to a gorgeous hotel. The freestanding dome is the eighth wonder of the world for its time. The opulence and beauty of the building is truly jaw-dropping. On to the reason for my email. I traveled there with three friends for a girls' weekend, two to a room. On our last morning there, we were packing up our room and getting ready to leave. The bathroom is literally double the size of my master bathroom at home. There are two sinks, a bath shower with one side with a little dressing area, and a dresser, and on the other, a toilet closet with a door and a glass shower. This was a standard two-queen bedroom. I had my suitcase on top of the dresser in the little dressing area. While packing up my toiletries at the sink, my suitcase, a larger roller suitcase that sat at the exact spot all weekend, went flying off the dresser. I had it partially closed, but not zipped, so all of my folded clothes and stuff went everywhere. It was a loud crash, and my friend in the bedroom asked if I was okay. I thought maybe it could have slid off, but it was like it was thrown across the bathroom. Me, more confrontational about these kinds of things, stopped what I was doing, stared, and hollered at my friend that I was okay, and walked over to clean up the mess while muttering, "That was super rude, but okay." My friend came to the bathroom, and we both saw the state of my bag, and she confirmed, "Yeah, that definitely didn't fall off." We continued to gather at the sink. I had a makeup brush that is in this little container that pulls the brush out when it's open. I had it sitting straight up on the counter. In front of both of us, it tips over, but it doesn't roll. Like, it got flipped. My friend just stared and let out a contemplative, "Huh." And I just grabbed the makeup and said, "Okay, got it. Thanks. We're leaving." We were all taking silly pictures in the garden the night before and maybe had a couple of drinks at the bar. Perhaps the Jesuit priests had had enough of our shenanigans and were ready for us to go. If you Google ghost stories at these resorts, there isn't much to tell. I'm sure with the age of both locations, there has to be something. I made mention of what happened to the girl working in the lobby completing our checkout. She said she wasn't aware of anything on our floor, but thanked me for mentioning it. I was hoping for some validation, but she gave no details and probably thought we were crazy. Hopefully my next girls trip will be ghost-free. I feel like I'm on a roll now, which means more stories for you to read on the podcast. Love and hugs from Tennessee, Liz.
Well, I want to go on one of your girls trips.
Is that stuff included or you got to pay extra?
I would kill for like an actual like whole spa day where you can like do the clay mud.
Same.
And all of that. And then like do the like swim up pool. And you know what I mean? Like, would I be able to stay silent enough to not be kicked out? I don't know.
Also, I think that the ghosts didn't want you to leave.
Maybe they were like, "Y'all are the most lively bunch here. Like, right. Y'all are having a good time."
They like were messing up your packing. They were like, "No, I don't want you to leave. Stay longer. Here, let me flip your suitcase over."
Oh, that makes me sad then. They just wanted you to stay. They loved y'all. But Liz, I expect an invitation to the next one, unless y'all are like hiking Mount Kilimanjaro or whatever. Like, that ain't for me. But if y'all are doing a spa day, doing all the like wellness stuff, that's for me.
Well, before we get into the next story, we have to talk about BetterHelp, because this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever tried to fix your mental health by reading, like, all the blogs, watching all the wellness TikToks, but somehow you ended up buying a weighted hula hoop at 2 a.m., Donna?
Guilty. Look, I have a whole saved for watching later routine videos, you know, but also it's just like, maybe I actually need someone else to help me.
There's so much information out there. Cold plunges, gratitude journals, screen detoxes, moon rituals. Like, what actually works? And how do you even start figuring it out when you're already so overwhelmed?
And you know I'm the queen of being overwhelmed with just a little bit of stuff on my plate. I'm like, I can't do it. But that's where BetterHelp comes in. They help you cut through the noise and get support that's actually tailored to you, not just whatever's trending on an FYP.
You don't have to do it alone, whether you're feeling anxious, stuck, burnt out, or you just need someone to help you figure things out. Talking to a therapist can really help.
And therapy isn't just for people who've gone through something huge. It's for anyone who wants to learn better coping skills, set boundaries with others and themselves, and just feel like themselves again.
BetterHelp has over 30,000 therapists, and they've helped more than 5 million people worldwide. That's a lot of folks out here doing the work, and we love it. And we see you, and we were you, and it really did help.
You can meet with a licensed therapist from wherever you are, whatever fits your schedule. Plus, if the therapist isn't the right fit, you can switch them too.
That for me was the game changer for BetterHelp, because I was like so scared that, like, what if I don't fit with them and I don't really want to deal with confrontation? And, you know, I mean, some of those things we need to work on in therapy, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. BetterHelp's live sessions have an average of 4.9 out of 5 stars based on over 1.7 million reviews.
So if you've been like me, feeling stuck in that wellness information paralysis, this is your sign to talk it out with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/APC today to get started.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/APC to get 10% off your first month.
Thanks again, BetterHelp, for sponsoring this episode. Here's to fewer tabs open on our browsers and our brains.
Okay, the next one. Connected vampire dreams? Hey girls, I hope you're doing well and surviving the heat of summer. I am loving every minute of it. By the way, today is July 11th for anyone wondering. This is not really a sinister sighting, but weird enough that I haven't forgotten it. So here we go. This was in the mid-90s, and we had moved from New York to California, where my husband was stationed while in the Navy. Carrie, I know you got those abbreviations, girl. I would call my family almost daily to chit-chat about nothing most days. One day I called my now ex-sister-in-law, and I mentioned I had the weirdest dream the night before. I don't remember exactly what happened in the dream, but I was a vampire, and when I woke up, I was literally biting my husband's shoulder. I guess not very hard because he didn't wake up, but he did have bite marks on his shoulder. Oopsie. Anyway, she was like, "Are you kidding me?" She said that the night before, she had a dream that my brother was a vampire. He actually woke up to her on top of him like she was holding a stake or something. And she was saying, "I love you, but you're a vampire and I have to kill you." Thankfully, she didn't have anything in her hands, but what the fuck? Weird, right? So random to have such similar dreams and both of us physically be acting them out. Were my brother and I vampires for a day and not know it? And neither of us have watched a vampire movie. That would have made sense. I know this was pretty short, but I don't want you guys to run out of stories. I have more that I'll send in, and I'm sorry for any errors as I'm typing this on my phone, and I have old eyes and fat fingers. Until next time, Paula.
Paula, are y'all twins?
But, like, what are the odds that you dreamt that you were a vampire, and she dreamt that your brother, who's kin to you, was a vampire? Like, it wasn't like she was a vampire, and it's like, oh, we were both vampires. No. Like, what kind of hidden secrets are in your family?
Wow. Thank you so much for just completely retelling that story. I would not have known you what know happened. What? You literally retold the whole story. Oh, that's funny. But that's why I said, are y'all twins? Because what are the odds? Do you want me to tell it for you one more time?
No, I got it now.
Okay.
Also, I might be your twin, Paula, because I too have old eyes and fat fingers. This morning, I was like determined to wake up early. Well, my alarm went off at 5, but 5:27 randomly. Like, it's such a random number, but that's what it landed on and that's what I put it on. And then I was like, no, I don't want to. I'm going to watch one little TikTok, then snooze my alarms and like turn them off and laid there.
Hold on. You laid there watching a TikTok after your alarm went off and then snoozed it. And then you didn't just stay asleep. I mean, I know that you fell back asleep, but.
Yeah, I fell back asleep. No, because I was just like, okay, well, I don't want to get up just yet, but I'll do a TikTok so I'll stay awake and then get up. But I didn't. And I woke up because Chris called me and he was like, wait, are you still asleep? And I was like, yes, I'll call you back in a minute. And like was running around. But I was dreaming something weird. So nothing was waking me up. Like I can't remember anything about it other than like it didn't make sense. Like it wasn't humanly possible what was going on. So the alarm sounding just went with it. Like everything just was so fucking weird. And I remember when I was in the shower, I was like, what was I dreaming? Like, it's like I couldn't get out of the dream, but it made no fucking sense. Like, I wish I would have been a vampire and that would have been easier to say, but I have no idea. Like, I was like slime or something.
Wow. Good story.
You know what? I'm over this.
I much preferred hearing Paula's twice.
Now, that was a good one.
Okay, the next one. Hi, ladies. I've sent in two stories before, but I can't remember if I sent this one in. If I did, then here it is again. When I was 9 in 2010, we lived in a 5-bedroom farmhouse in a very small town outside of Hillsboro, Texas. Literally like 4 streets and most of them homes. My family was struggling with a lot of things and we needed a place fast and cheap. We lived there almost exactly 6 months, January to July. My mom and sister said they'd hear noises upstairs like footsteps, but I never heard or saw anything. However, there was a bedroom downstairs I refused to go in and I hated being upstairs alone. I thought it was just little kid stuff like being afraid of the dark. The computer where I'd play Girls Go Games on was next to the staircase and I always had an image of a man in overalls in my head that I felt was standing at the top. One night, I was asleep in my mom's room with our chihuahua, and I woke up to her freaking out a bit, talking to my dad, asking him, are you home? Someone's walking around on the porch. We had a wraparound porch at the time. I remember hearing someone walking outside, and my dad telling her that he was still at work. So she grabbed a bat and told me to stay in the bed and lock the door. After a minute or two, I heard a crashing noise, and then a few minutes later, my mom came back. She told me years later what happened. She saw someone's shadow walking on the porch and the door handle jiggle. Now, she kept a chair propped up against the door for extra safety, and the crashing noise was it falling. She said that when she turned the porch light on, there were boot prints, but nobody there. It was impossible to get off the property that quick, considering she saw the door handle moving. We found out later that the previous owner had died in the house in that bottom bedroom I hated, and his grandchildren said that they thought it was haunted. My mom's a skeptic with certain things, but we couldn't explain that night. We moved out 3 months later. Hopefully there's no misspellings. Love you guys and hope you come to visit Dallas soon so I can meet y'all, Sarah.
Well, Sarah, Donna's already done Dallas, but you can come see us on the cruise in Fort Lauderdale. So that story, it doesn't matter what it was, that was scary. If it was a person trying to break in, fucking scary. If it was a ghost trying to break in, fucking scary.
But it sounds like the guy you could like picture in your mind's eye with the overalls.
But what if you actually saw him and that's why you can picture him because he was like scoping the place out?
Nah, I think it was a ghost. I think it was like, even if it's just like residual energy. That was really hard to say. Residual energy.
Well, damn, who's a skeptic now? Shit. I'm like giving probable calls here. And she's like, no, it was a ghost. That was a ghost. Overalls? Fuck, that's a ghost.
I'd love a man in overalls. I can't wait till Colby starts wearing overalls all the time.
Oh my God. Y'all better be glad that y'all didn't know Carrie in, I guess it was middle school and high school, but she had these shorts overalls that she fucking loved.
And you know what? Those would be in style AF right now.
They would, but I had to look at them a lot.
With the double tank tops under it.
A lot.
And then in sixth grade, I had these pants overalls that I would have to leave the button undone because they were too tight.
But she wore them.
I sure fucking did. Easy access for the boys.
Oh, Lord. Okay, the next one. A gross, sinister sighting, a.k.a. I met Carrie.
You what?
Met Carrie. Like, saying it like they said that. Never mind. Okay, bye. Hi there, Donna and Carrie. My name is Shannon, and feel free to use my name because I've got no secrets. I wanted to start by saying that your podcast is the first one I ever stumbled upon. I've listened since, I believe, 2020. I think I started when I did my first travel nursing contract and traveled 1 hour to and from work. And guess what day that contract started? March 16th, 2020. I had signed in January having no idea what was to come. Man, you two got me through some dark times in healthcare. I won't apologize for grammar. I work with doctors who don't even punctuate right, so fuck it. I actually have two stories. The first one is more true crime. I'll send the second one in a separate email as it is better told alone. The year was 2012 and I had just bought my very first house. I grew up and still live in a small north central Indiana town. I think our population sits around 11,000. The house I bought was located along one of our busiest roads in town. I actually was quite comfortable in this neighborhood and this house in particular as my mom grew up there and I had spent a good portion of my childhood there as well. The neighbors were cool and honestly never had any problems. In 2012, I was 27, had a great job, and was basically living my best life. I was dating a guy who didn't live with me but less than a mile away. This particular night, I was home alone and was watching this weird movie my boyfriend had suggested. It was called The Secretary and had some pretty sexual scenes. I remember being like, what the hell is this? He was really into all kinds of films, and apparently I just didn't see what he did. The layout of this house had my main seating in the living room facing away from the huge windows lining the front of the house. I didn't have curtains yet because I was young and dumb. So whoever drove by the house from the road could see what I was watching on TV. This was also the time in my life when I partied a ton and friends were always in and out of my house. Man, we had some great times there, but I digress. I was also sick with a pretty nasty head cold that night, and my boyfriend and I had gotten in a dumb fight, so I told him to go the hell home. He did, and I continued to watch his weird-ass movie all doped up on cough syrup and beer. I had a pretty solid buzz going when I thought I saw something out of the corner of my right eye. I shook it off, thinking, girl, you must have been drinking. But this time, I had decided enough was enough with the fucking movie. I noticed something again. Just like a real swift movement in the window. Y'all, I looked over and I saw a tall man standing in my window that was connected to my front porch. My stomach dropped and I was instantly surprised. But then I shook my head and said to myself, oh, this guy looks like one of my good friend's husbands. I had also been friends with this guy for years upon years, so I grabbed my beer and went to the door. I opened the door. It had frosted glass, so you couldn't really see who was outside of it. But I found a guy who was 100% not my friend yanking his crank on my front porch. I immediately screamed, what the fucking fuck are you doing? And threw my full can of beer at this asswipe. He legit looks at me and says, you're so sexy. As I run, slam the door shut, and run to my phone. The only light on in the house was my living room light, and the rest of the house was silent and dark. I got on the phone, ran to the kitchen, crouched down, and called the police. I screamed into the phone about what happened, and I distinctly remember the person on the other end say, wait, what? About this time, I stand back up to see this guy running through my backyard and off into the dark night. I also called my boyfriend and he was like, oh my God, I'll be right there. He showed up about the same time as the cops. They scoured the neighborhood and surrounding areas to no avail. The dude was long gone. I was so fucking creeped out. I sat out back chain smoking cigarettes. My boyfriend felt so bad about our fight and that I was there alone. Honestly, it didn't matter because I had been alone in the house a million times over the years. Why would tonight have been any different? One funny thing, there was a cop out back with us who was just kind of milling around and asking me questions he thought of. And he said, you sure the dude was jacking off? I said, buddy, why the fuck would I want that kind of lie on me? He said, man, that's so fucked up. Yeah, I'll say. The cops called me out to the front porch and said, hey, I hate to show you this, but there's something on your window here. As if this shit ain't fucked up enough, this disgusting motherfucker had splooged on my front porch window. That sent me. I threw up in the yard because I had been drinking, barely eating, and was full of cough syrup. They ended up taking a sample of the specimen just in case and made sure to leave the rest for me to clean up. That was the next day, and yes, I threw up then too. Here's what's ridiculous. I was wearing skinny jeans and a zip-up Columbia jacket. Was it the fleece you couldn't handle, bro? Another funny thing is, a friend of mine caught wind of the story and just didn't believe it had happened. He drove by the house early the next morning and saw the sample on the window. He called me and said, I didn't believe your boyfriend until I saw the evidence. Gross, right? I learned quite a few lessons that day. Honestly, laid the groundwork for my current career, ER nursing. So here's my unsolicited advice. 1, get some goddamn curtains and put them up before you're there alone at night. 2, never ever open the door to someone you cannot see. Even if you think you know who they are, call that person. You'll find out real quick if it's in fact them. 3, keep your motherfucking head on a swivel. Just because you live in a small town doesn't mean bad things can't happen to you. After that night, I really started to understand that I grew up in a bubble of safeness. I had nightmares for quite a while after that. It really sucks to feel like a scared chick in a man's world, but also, fuck that. Anyone who knows me personally knows that I take exactly zero shit now. No one is allowed to make you feel any certain way against your wishes. Podcasts started to come along and I started listening to you two and many other true crime ones. I learned that Ted Bundy faked a broken arm to get a woman in the car to hurt her. That really resonated with me. I can now say that I do have my head on a swivel and I lean into gut intuition anytime it hits me. I do not play. My husband says that I'm a glass half full person and I say no. I just acknowledge how much is really in the glass. Thank you so much for all you do. I know it must be a lot of work on your part to put this podcast on for your fans. Your hard work is really appreciated. Sincerely, Shannon. Well, Shannon, I'm not going to say what he was doing was right because it's not right, but the secretary is very sexy. And he was like, oh, this is a free movie because the windows were open and he was walking through going doo doo doo. Holy fuck. Is that Maggie Gyllenhaal doing?
The secretary was a lot.
It was.
It was a lot.
I was like, oh, shit, I'm watching this in my parents' house. And, like, that really didn't mean a whole lot. But, like, it meant a lot for me to be like, this is weird. I feel weird. Like, if my dad came in, even my mama, I feel weird.
That's fucking nasty, though.
Oh, that's beyond nasty. And then to be like, you're so sexy.
But what's scary, though, is was this his first time to stumble upon your open window, or had he been?
Oh, yeah, he might not have even saw what was on the fucking TV. He might have just been like, oh, there's that girl again.
This might have been his weekly romp.
Uh-huh. Ugh. Mm-mm. And then he left it on. Oh, God, you nasty.
But yes, I'm with you. Get you some fucking curtains.
Yeah.
I'm with you. It's fucking stupid that we have to be so careful. Just because we're women. Like, I can't remember if I told this story already, but when we were in New Orleans, like, last week, we were getting in the elevator, and Colby said, what room are we in? And I was like, hold on. And I waited for the elevator doors to close, and then I told him. And I'm like, that didn't even cross his mind to not say the room number out in public, because nothing would happen to him, you know? Whereas, as a woman, you have to be like, you can't say your room number out in a fucking lobby of a hotel.
Yeah, and you don't want to say that you're traveling alone.
And you want to get two keys, even if it's just you, because what if the person that works at the fucking hotel is shady, you know? Okay, the next one. Marionettes are still creepy to me. Hello, beautiful ladies. We mustn't run out of these stories, so I'm hoping y'all have gotten a boatload that has made its way to the inbox. Couldn't imagine a Thursday without y'all's stories to creep me out and question the shadows lurking in the corners of my eye. Today is July 17th. Where the fuck has the year gone? And this is another childhood story for y'all. When living with my grandparents, my poppy loved a good yard sale. I mean, who doesn't? So he would come home with random things from time to time that would mostly just get moved around until it made its way out to the shed, waiting until we had our yard sale. This one day, Poppy showed up with not one, but two antique porcelain clown marionette dolls. Because if just one of those things weren't creepy enough, let's put them together. He shows them to me very excited. I got these for you. To which I'm sure I replied with my best fake smile, oh, thanks. Why? See, my grandfather very lovingly remembered I liked those really silly looking fluffy bird marionettes I saw and played with when we went to Nashville just a month before, and I guess thought I would like these too, because creepy clowns were not so much different for me to play with, just what every 11-year-old girl wants, I'm sure. I took them with care to the bedroom and placed them on my dresser without thinking any more about them. That is, until I came home from school later that week. I walked in, greet my grandparents with a hug and a kiss, and I go to my room for something. I walk through my door and I immediately freeze. They were both sitting on my bed, looking at me with their dead hollow eyes. Took me a good couple of minutes to take in the rest of the surroundings to notice that one of my grandparents washed my bedding and remade my bed. I guess they saw the dolls and thought sitting them on a freshly made bed was cute. I grabbed the dolls and put them on the rocking chair in the corner of my room and strategically sat them backwards. Now, this next part, I can't remember if it was the next night or it had been a few nights at this point. I was laying in bed after my alarm went off that morning. When I sat up, at my direct line of sight was that rocking chair. Those damn dolls were staring at me again. What the fuck? That was definitely not how I left them. Then, all of a sudden, one tilted its head towards the other. I gasped for breath, bolted straight up. It took me a second to realize it was a dream. I looked at that rocking chair and the dolls were both in the same position I last remembered leaving them. But that was it. I could not take it anymore. I very quietly and quickly gathered the dolls after I had gotten ready for the day and made my way outside to put them on the shelf in the shed. I thought to myself, there, that's that. Out of sight, out of mind. I couldn't tell my poppy that these marionette dolls that he found and were so excited to give me freaked me out. I didn't want to seem ungrateful or rude. A few weeks, maybe even a month goes by, and these dolls are far gone from my memory. Until I walk back into my room from a weekend away, and what do I see in the corner of my room, sitting in the rocker? Those fucking dolls. Don't worry, the creepiest shit dolls never attempted to possess me. That happened long ago. Insert evil laugh. My poppy thought I had accidentally left them in the shed, and I had to come clean that I hated them and they freaked me out. My nanny and poppy both had a good laugh knowing they freaked me out with some creepy clown marionettes. With all the love, Chris C. from MD.
Oh my gosh, Chris, I had one of those fluffy marionette dolls. Like, they weren't actual dolls. I mean, they look like what Jim Henson, whatever his fucking name is, would have made. Oh my God, I loved it. Mine was a pink one, though. But I would do, like, all the silly, like, oh, it's walking. But it was just, like, lanky.
I never had any of that shit. But I do know that sounds like some serious shit Donna and her parents would do. Buy stuff at a yard sale, keep it at your house to sell it at their yard sale.
Yes, absolutely. I love that they thought they were doing such a, like, sweet job and stuff. Like, we're really going to show her. And every time you're, like, shitting yourself when you come in.
Right. It's like, thank you so much for, like, making my bed and all, but can you not scare the shit out of me?
Ugh. I mean, that's just, like, a marionette doll, creepy. A clown marionette doll, extra creepy. Like, no, thank you. Okay, the last one. Hello, ladies. You two are awesome and bring so much joy to my life. The podcast community is so supportive and fun, and I'm looking forward to meeting everyone in New Orleans. I've only had a few paranormal experiences myself, but I grew up hearing all about them. My dad's mom and her family told ghost stories like they were lullabies. They were always talking about who had come back to, quote, visit. To be clear, they did not mean living guest. When my mom had me, I was born early because my mom had preeclampsia. So my mom had to have an emergency C-section. Everything ended up okay, but I was a little run, so I had to stay in the hospital to grow. My mom was staying at my meemaw's house because she had lived closer to the hospital. My mom felt like someone was in the room with her and looked up and saw my dad's dad. He had passed away several years before. My mom didn't feel scared. She felt like he was a message to her to let her know that I was going to be okay. When she told my meemaw, meemaw said that she had felt his presence. I'll tell one more story now and send the rest separately. I'm trying to do my fair share to keep sinister sightings going. When I was small, let's say around 3 or 4, I had had this nightlight that was huge. It was more like a lamp. It looked like a Holly Hobby type girl covered in those light bright lights. This was early 80s. I was laying in my bed looking at her trying to go to sleep. Y'all, she looked over at me and frowned. It was like a sneer and a frown. And I was not asleep. I was not dreaming. I jumped up, I ran to my parents' room, and I refused to go back in my room until that lamp was gone. I'm 47, and I still remember how scared I was. Luckily, my parents must have realized something was up, or it just wasn't worth the fight, because they got rid of that lamp. Thanks again for being so amazing. Crystal, you may use my name.
We did get to meet Crystal in New Orleans.
Yes, I hope you enjoyed everything, and you got to meet all the creepsters and sweat your ass off.
That's the damn truth. At least your parents listened to you, though. Especially in the fucking 80s. Nobody's right. Parents listened to them in the 80s.
It seems like that lamp might have been an expensive lamp.
But it's like, you kind of had the same experience as with the marionette dolls, but she was asleep when she saw them turning around. But you weren't.
And how's she going to have like a sneer? Like, mm-mm.
Yeah, bitch, don't be looking at me like that.
Uh-uh.
This is my house.
I'll fucking unplug your ass. Meanwhile, I mean, I would have screamed, ran out the room, and did all the things, too.
You're like suddenly not afraid of the dark. You're like, no, I'm fine. I don't need her. I'm good. Yeah. I'll be fine.
Oh, shit. Well, we're really glad that you got to come to New Orleans and experience our first like live gathering.
Right? Where we were in charge.
Yeah.
It definitely had its flaws. We're working on it.
God, you didn't.
And I mean Donna. Donna has her
flaws. Wow.
No, I do too.
I have one.
Yeah, my friendship with you is my flaw. Now, you know that was a good one.
It was. That's why I laughed. I couldn't help it.
No, for real, though. Thank you so much for coming and experiencing the first of hopefully many, but it was the first.
Yep. It was the first and won't be the last.
We definitely learned from it, and we will continue to make changes every single time. So, did you fill out your survey? Let us know. But for real, thank you all so much for sending in these stories. If you want your story read on an episode, send it in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com. And remember,
creep it real and don't get scared.